Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of Zbrojovcast, the Zbrojovka Brno English language podcast, or the podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
My name's Sam.
And yeah, every couple of weeks we're going to be bringing you, a football podcast that incorporates other things as well, hopefully. A bit of history, a bit of geography, a bit of local colour, a bit of us travelling around the country to, you know, various hijinks. And the added bonus of us being two white guys making a football podcast, which is...
Zbrojovcast, following Zbrojovka, so you don't have to.
Exactly.
But this is our first episode. We're going to be hopefully doing this over the next couple of weeks, and we are very new to this game.
Hopefully more than the next couple of weeks. I mean,
fortnightly at least.
As
being very new to this, we will be hopefully setting up sort of various social media channels shortly.
And as we said, it's not going to be completely nerdy football. It's going to be a lot nerdy football, but not entirely. So even if football isn't your thing, there should be a little bit of something for everyone, I hope.
That's nice. But in all seriousness, I think we would appreciate any comments, any feedback, as well as any memories that you might have of any slightly bizarre or not very well-known football leagues.
Yeah, exactly. The more obscure, the better. I think that's basically where this podcast is going already.
You're currently not getting more obscure than the Czech Second League. So.
Yes, indeed. As Sam said just then, Zbrojovka Brno are in the Czech Second Division, but what about Brno itself? Well, it is in the southeast of the Czech Republic. It's the second biggest city after Prague, home to many students and all the kind of hipster accoutrements that go along with them.
I don't know what I'd say, but I would say it's still relatively undiscovered in the terms of the Czech Republic, because when people tell you they go to the Czech Republic, they mean that they've gone to Prague. And it's a very picturesque, pretty city located in a very pretty part of the country beside the big winemaking region and also close to a host of other major cities.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the nice things, it's very easy to get to basically anywhere else, which is how we have been able to go to a load of places you wouldn't normally go in this country, purely because we have been following the football team for some years now. It's just been... It's given us a reason to go to places you wouldn't normally go to.
That's it. I mean, the one reason that I started following Zbrojovka was before I even met David, actually. Is that I think it took a couple of months of me living here first before finding out who you were. But it was there specifically to... placate my the biggest loss of moving abroad, which was not being able to go to the football weekly. So it's definitely plugged that gap, and we've been able to do it at a fraction of the cost it would to everybody back in the UK.
Yeah. So as we said, every couple of weeks we're going to be bringing you updates from where we've been, what we've seen, what we've done, and hopefully some games that we have seen actually won. So, Zbrojovka Brno, a potted history. They started out life in 1913 as SK Zidanica. They were the factory team for a weapons and armaments factory. In fact, their nickname is Flinter, which means the gun. And the Zbrojovka factory was vaguely famous for making the Bren gun, which apparently is a thing if you're into military stuff, which I'm not.
Neither am I.
No. They're still known by their historical name, Zbrojovka Brno, but they've been through a couple of name changes, including a period in the 50s and 60s as Spartak, which we're going to look into in a future episode, hopefully, because they had a couple of European escapades. Excuse me. And Sam is going to look into that, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do a bit of research into the several, must be said, European runs of Spartak, and perhaps a couple of less spectacular ones as Zbrojovka. But really not such a a trophied team, let's say, but they have had one bit of success.
Yeah, they won the Czechoslovak League in 1978, and they had a short foray into the UEFA Cup in the 90s. They played Inkeras Kaunas in a particularly non-memorable fixture, I assume. But yeah, they've reverted to their historical name, as I say. They're now back to being Zbrojovka Brno, and their badge is now a kind of stylized version of the old one that it was some years ago.
But despite not really being such a trophied team, it must be said that historically this team has been very well supported.
Yeah, that's true. Not so much nowadays. They used to play at a huge pile of a stadium called Luzhanki, and they moved out in, I think,
2001 was when they moved to Stadion Srpska, which is an absolute relic of a stadium, if ever.
Yeah, it's a small, it's about 12,500 capacity out in the suburbs, and the idea was that the old stadium would be renovated, but due to lack of interest, ownership issues, backhanders, various other Czech political things, it never really happened. Again, in a future episode, we're going to dig much deeper into this, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, as we said earlier, they currently reside in the second division of Czech football, and Sam can tell you a little bit about how football in this country works.
It does.
Is that, well, yes, that cannot be denied.
Yes, well, the Czech football in this country, I guess, is very much a case of the haves and have-nots. There's very big disparity between the professional teams, your Spartas, your Slavias, Victoria Pilsen, of course, and then even dropping down to the second division, now called the Narodny Liga, where you have a mixture of professional, semi-professionals, and what could maybe generously be described as village teams playing in front of 400 or 500 people.
Yeah, this is it's where you get that slightly curious thing that happens in the UK far further down the leagues, where maybe a team can't get promoted because their stadium's not up to scratch, or you know they haven't got the right, you know, pitch with undersoil heating, or the capacity's not big enough, so they can't get promoted. This happens in the promotion race from the second division to the top league in this country. That is how much of a drop.
It's happened actually when the last time that Zbrojovka or the first FC Brno were down there, because in that time they finished fourth in 2011-12, I believe.
Something like that. And the teams in second and fourth went up because first and third either couldn't afford the license to play in the top league, or the grounds weren't up to scratch or whatever. So.
And indeed, in the bottom of that league as well, this happened again this year with one team who were supposed to be relegated down to the third division.
Vitkovice, right?
Yes, who were spared because that team from Prague, Olympia Prague?
That team from Prague, yeah. The kind of MK Dons of the... Of Czech football.
We got brought over, I think, from somewhere like
Hradec Králové,
to play,
yeah.
And they play in the old Strachov Stadium, I think. Mm-hmm. Did not reapply for their license, so Vidkovice have stayed up. And this is could have big long-term repercussions for a lot of football teams here. It is progressively harder to get promoted to each league as it goes down. 16 teams in the first league, the top division, of which two get relegated. And then to get back up into there are, again, two promotional spots, no playoffs, nothing, two up, that's it.
Yeah, and when you get to the bottom of the second division, it's two down, I believe.
Going into the respectful leagues, as that's when things start splitting up into Bohemia and Moravia. So down here we have the Moravian Silesian Football League and the Bohemian Football League West.
Yes, and it's it really is one of those things where if you're a team trying to get promoted from what, let's for clarity's sake, or you know brevity's sake, let's call the third division, mm-hmm. you have to finish top. And that's it.
No prizes for second place.
No prize for second, no playoffs, no nothing. You have to finish top. It's a really, really tough gig. So, yeah, it's Yeah, up and downs. There are a lot of factors to think about, and as Sam mentioned, since I've been here, Zborovka have been in the second division once before, and it was not as easy as we thought to get up. It was purely, we finished fourth, and it was purely because there were two other teams who just weren't ready for the top division that we got back up. So I wonder if it's going to be the same this year. It seems to be a lot more professional than it was before.
Yes, I think that's one thing to say. There is going to be, again, I think there's going to be about four or five teams in it this year.
Yeah, certainly.
The good news is that you only have to play each team twice, home and away. So there are still plenty of points up for grabs. And I think what we're going to see on Sunday is, even though a game that doesn't really capture the imagination, we've played Jihlava many times before at this point, it is going to let us know where both teams are at, who have come down, and see how they're probably going to fit into this division.
Yeah, last season, both teams were at the bottom for basically almost all of the season, I would say.
And it looked like there was going to be the great escape for the plucky Vysočinians from Jihlava.
They somehow contrived to go down. I'm not sure how.
Well, I think that the resurgence actually started when we thought we would be fine. First game against Jihlava, we played before the winter break. There is a winter break in Czech football because otherwise...
Three bloody months of winter break as well.
That's the longest gap between football. It's not between seasons. That's the most interesting thing. But Jihlava looked terrible and played terrible. And when we played them in Jihlava, were terrible.
Yeah, we won. What was the score? Is it
2-0?
2-0 us. And my God, it was cold, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Up in the mountains there.
I was overjoyed because it's the first time I think we'd seen us win away from home.
Yeah,
season.
Jihlava are, well, the town is up in the mountains, and it was the first weekend of December, and it was a Friday evening kickoff.
Yes, it was. It's a very good town, Jihlava. It's the Vysočina region, or the Highlands region of the Czech Republic. It's about 60,000-70,000 people there. I'm quite familiar with the city because it has a documentary film festival every year, which I go to. And it's really nice, really quaint in some ways. Some really nice places to eat and drink, and has a football team.
Yeah.
So what more could you want?
As we were saying last season, though, these are the two teams that got relegated from the top division. Zbrojovka, to be fair...
deserved it.
We did deserve it. The second half of the... the first half of the season, we weren't... we were dreadful until a new coach came in. We're now coached by a guy called Roman Pivarnik. And the beginning of last season, we went out of the cup to MFK?
HFK.
HFK Olomouc. Yes.
Hanatska Fotbalová Klub.
Is that what that is?
Okay. I'm guessing it is, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
That was fun, wasn't
God,
it?
God, that was dreadful. My word. Although I did like our beers being poured just by a bloke with a wooden table in a sort of a field behind the stadium.
It was all very strange. It was one of these classic European... terrible football grounds in the sense that your away section is covered by net
because there's
going to be
net.
Lots of violence, which there wasn't. So about 30, I think, supporters were there. It was a Wednesday night, if I remember correctly. Lost 2-1. Many words were said.
Yeah, many words were exchanged between the supporters and the
in different
the players.
Languages.
Yeah,
and that was basically the end of Habanec, the first team coach. It was coming. The match before that as well was a really desperate defeat against Fastav Zlín.
Yeah, and since then we've had Roman Pivarnik, who initially was impressive because he stopped us conceding so many goals. We got the defensive side of the game together very nicely. And went into the winter break thinking this might be okay.
Yes, the bounce, as you might say, did happen. There was a couple of good victories on the way. That Jihlava away win cannot be understated. There were a very bad team at that point. At the same time, Zbrojovka never ever win away, so that was kind of huge.
Yeah, and then after the winter break, it became clear that even though the defence had been repaired, it was at the expense of any sort of goal scoring.
4-5-1.
4-5-1.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
4-5-1. Yes,
why don't you like it? Nobody likes
nobody
it.
Nobody likes it. Yeah. 4-5-1s can work, of course, if you
have wingers.
Have wingers. Your central striker is not the most immobile lard ass on the planet and gets no support from central midfield whatsoever. And your fullbacks do a good job of not being great going forward and not being great defensively either.
This is it. We're saying that when Pivarnik came in, it sort of stopped us sort of conceding goals. It stopped us conceding goals for a while. There's actually some of the worst defending that I think I saw for Zbrojovka was actually in the second part of the season, because it was that horrible combination of...
You're going to talk about Mladá Boleslav, aren't you?
I'm going to talk about Mladá Boleslav because I'm still hurting from it. This was actually, as we said, the game after a heroic draw with Sparta Prague. Sparta Prague, who we are undefeated against that season, and that was our first
That's
point.
True, yeah.
That was our first point against Sparta Prague in Prague for 10 years.
Yeah.
It also had my personal highlight of the season, which was Kristofek's red card, where he
for that magnificent handball,
where he handed the ball and then went down clutching his face.
Yes. Yeah, I remember seeing that on the telly. That was hilarious. And actually, the Mladá Boleslav game, I missed that. I can't remember where I was, but it was just you, wasn't it?
Yes, and it was... I mean, you were very lucky to miss it, because Kristofek being suspended meant that Kianskis came in.
Oh.
And if you are an English or Scottish football supporter, you may remember Kianskis from playing,
such games as
playing against you in the World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, I was fascinated to see this, because Taras Kianskis is... I don't know...
He's capped at international level. It's fucking brilliant.
I don't know the state of Lithuanian football, but it was... Basically, his special ability is the ability to stumble over at a key moment. He's incredibly good at it. And I remember watching him and then struggling against fairly crappy Czech First League forwards and then realising that next week he was going to have to mark Harry Kane, and wondered how many England would win by, because, yeah, good Lord.
The absolute state of Scottish football that Kianskis played at Hampden when we took 94 minutes to rescue a point.
That's
dreadful.
That is poor. I didn't realise that was that bad.
And to go back to that Mladá Boleslav game, Mladá Boleslav, who have not had a very good season, very patchy up and down inconsistency for them. Mladá Boleslav itself, just north of Prague, is the home of Škoda, the automobile company, and they finished the game by half time. It was 3-0 at half time with three defensive errors, all coming from Kianskis. I don't think he's played since.
He hasn't played since. And also, I like the fact that you said automobile company rather than car company. That I don't know why that stuck. That just made me quite pleased.
I'm big into cars, you see.
That's a lie, isn't it?
I'm occasionally in cars, you see.
Yeah, that cannot be denied. You are occasionally in cars.
But to not ramble too much at this juncture, basically it was a really poor season. And the last few weeks, there were only three or four teams that were any risk of going down. I think Zbrojovka were doomed, but I feel a bit sorry for Jihlava.
Yeah. I don't know if there were plenty of other teams that were worse, but there were plenty of other teams that could equally... I mean, it felt kind of a lottery towards the end, didn't it?
Yeah, you'll remember on the way to the to their title that Victoria Pilsen had, I think, was it 13 games in a row without dropping a point?
Yeah.
The first team that they lost to?
Was?
Jihlava.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Jihlava, who also, I believe, beat either Sparta or Slavia as well. They started picking up points, got back-to-back, got almost mid-table at one point before falling down again. And it made for an entertaining end of the season into which it looked like either two of the four of ourselves, Banik Ostrava, Karvina, and Jihlava would go down.
And it really looked like Jihlava were not the ones that were going to go. They were on a decent run of form. Banik were dreadful at that point. Karvina were in free fall.
And then what happens? Everybody plays each other.
Yeah.
And really, it was kind of settled properly on the last day where they lost 2-0 to Karvina, while simultaneously we lost 2-0 to Banik.
To Banik
Ostrava
at their place. And away loss, not a surprise.
Couldn't even send them down with us. Send them down with us.
That would have been quite sweet, to be honest. Bono and Banik are, I would say, fairly big rivals. So it would have been fairly sweet to take them with us, but it's an away game, so that was never going to happen. So, in a nutshell, that's kind of what happened last season.
But don't fear.
Yes.
We have a new season with a bunch of other teams that people might not know.
A bunch of other teams that people definitely will not know, I would say.
Bunch of teams and places that I don't know.
That's also true. We're going to look at that after a slightly unusual interlude. This is the thing that I promised stroke threatened to come earlier. So we're going to look at what might happen next season after this interlude.
And we're back.
Yeah. What I'd like to look at, and this is a very curious thing that I discovered relatively recently. When you travel around the Czech Republic by train and you go through stations in cities of fairly decent sizes, you know, Brno, Prague, Ostrava, Olomouc, places like that, not in like small towns or villages, the little kind of electronic jingles that you get in the station to announce trains and delays and cancellations and alterations of tracks and things are not unified. They each have a jingle based on a song related to that town or that region that you're in. So as we travel around the country this year, whenever we go somewhere that has one of these things, I'm going to play you the little jingle and a little snippet of the track from which it comes, because I think, I mean, for me, that's quite an interesting thing. That might be really dull to other people, but I
really hope that I'm going to leave a space here just for a few seconds.
Right.
Because I'm hoping that with your editing skills, you be able to convey my feelings on it, which is Homer Simpson shouting, "Nerd!" outside of the car.
Well, at least you made your feelings clear. That's fine. Anyway, I'm going to go and forge right ahead with this feature because when I discovered this was a thing, somebody, because of course they have, has made a website that's collected every sound from every railway station. I spent literally some minutes playing with that to see what tunes various stations had. Not because I'm a train nerd, but because I'm a music nerd. I'm a really massive fan of any type of music, and local history as well. So anyway, we're going to start with Brno, because we're not going anywhere this week. So this is the jingle that if you arrive in Brno, you will hear. So that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little doodah.
It's the a familiar friend, say, the station.
It just announces cancellations. And you
probably the friendliest thing at that station, to be honest.
Yeah, that's probably true. One more time. I'll repeat that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the European train to Praha, Hlavní nádraží, is now arriving on platform 1.
It's like you're really there. If you are listening to this not in Brno, you don't even really need to come now. You've pretty much got the whole experience.
There's also a castle. There you go. That's all Brno.
Yeah, that's... Anyway. So anyway, that little jingle is from a folk song called Hvězdy jsou jak sedmi krásky nad Brnem, which we're going to play you a little bit of right now.
Hvězdy jsou jak sedmi krásky nad Brnem. Dobrou noc, má milá, dobrou noc.
There again, you know, it's a lovely little pointless little feature we've got going there.
It's nice to have, I think. It's something that makes at least your journey a little bit distinctive.
Adds a bit of local flavour as well, I feel. And yeah, like I said, as a bit of a music nerd, I just think that was, you know, that's just something to look into. And like I said, it will become a semi-regular feature unless we get people clamoring for it not to be a semi-regular feature. But first, we need listeners. So
yeah, that's true. I think if we do pick up some listeners, then I think we have a couple of semi-regular things planned.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the very end of this episode will be a thing that we do after every podcast. So, I mean, you know, that sounds... not sure how that sounds, but it will be worth sticking around for, trust us.
Are you okay this week, David? You've got a bit of a cough going on.
Yeah, a little bit of a cough. I'm recovering from a nasty bout of something horrendous. But yeah, I've got a terrible tickle in my throat. I mean, the beer is helping. We do have beers in here, obviously.
Today's show is sponsored by
Sviani. We're drinking the Sviani 11 degree here. Actually, that could definitely be a regular feature.
Sviani.
No, just, you know, changing beers every week, or every show, I should say.
Let's get the listenership up. Let's get the Patreon account set up first, you know, where we can start, you know, affording beers that cost more than 50 pence a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, this is Sviani, very good. I'm pleased that we're on that.
But talking about feeling dreadful and getting over things, what do we have in store to the Zbrojovka team this season, David? Did you like that link, by the way?
That was superb.
I thought it was quite good.
A career in broadcasting awaits.
That's great. Well, samgbeaton@gmail.com.
It's going to be hospital radio, isn't it? Let's be honest.
We all got to start somewhere.
Indeed. What do I think about this season? I think it would be nice to see us winning games. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would be nice.
I can't disagree. And you know what better place to start than with I was going to say with a new look squad and a bunch of good results and friendlies under our belt, but I don't think it's really been from that.
Though we've got a new look squad.
Made a few new signings. It's going to look different in terms of names and numbers. It's not going to look different about how the team lines up, let's be real.
No, yeah, that's true. There have been five new signings, all of which have some degree of competence by the looks of them. We've got a couple from Karviná. We've got Pavel Iceman.
Pavel the Iceman Iceman.
Thank you. Yes, that's going to be a thing. You remember earlier when you said you wanted to start referring to everyone by nicknames?
Ice to meet you.
That's, yes, yeah, this is, that might be one that sticks. The Iceman.
I hope that Pavel Iceman also is able to stick to defenders and not give the ball away.
Stick to defend.
I don't know.
Where are you going with that?
I'm not entirely sure. But I know where he's going, probably straight into the first 11 of that Zbrojovka squad, I imagine.
Well, we saw him at left back, didn't we, against Fishkov. And he looked like what he is, a large, solid 30-something defender, which is not a bad thing for the second division.
And 139 appearances for Karvina, who came up just two seasons ago, their first time ever in the first league, have stayed.
Was he not captain as well?
I think he was, actually. But I think at least for going down to this level, particularly, like, he will have some experience of that.
Yeah, exactly. A sort of, you know, as you said, solid experience. What, 32-year-old defender is precisely the sort of leadership you need at the back. We've got another lad in from Karviná who we haven't seen a lot of. That's Peter Stepanovsky. Excuse me. He's a winger, I believe, but did we see him against Fishkov? I think he was injured.
I cannot remember. I don't think so. I know he's there,
yeah,
but that's about it.
Yeah. We did see a couple of other signings in the last preseason game against Fishkov. We saw Lukáš Magera signed from Mladá Boleslav. He's 35. He's 6'6". He's the perfect second division forward.
I really like how we're thinking things logically this season for Zbrojovka, because we're going to be able to like loan him out every other week to play in the basketball court just behind the stadium.
Yep.
So I think that'll bring in some income there.
Exactly.
He's got a man bun, hasn't he?
He has got a man bun, but you wouldn't take the piss out of him for it. He is fucking massive.
I mean, he has a career in some sort of combat sport as well, you know, ahead of him.
Right, yeah.
He's built, he's long, he'll run there all day long.
I think running is pushing it slightly. I think lumbering is more his style.
Mincing along.
Clanking about the field as he does. The other one... we saw the captain of the side for the friendly against Vyshkov, despite the fact he only turned up in Brno on Thursday and the game was on Saturday, was Robert Bartolomeu, 24-year-old midfielder from Zlín.
And formerly of Rizzle Kicks.
he's sort of channeling the Jason Lee thing as well. He has got a pineapple on his head.
I wonder if he's going to do a Neymar and just switch it up every game. I'd
sort of love to see that.
Add a little bit of just complete arrogance and pointlessness to the second league. I think it'd be welcome.
Yeah, I mean he's also interesting for being a Czech of Angolan descent, which is not something you see every day, to be honest. I read an interview with him on the Zbrojovka website earlier today where the interview said something like, if the Czech Republic played Angola, where would your loyalties lie? And he said, well, the Czech Republic, it's the only country I've ever known and I couldn't name a single one of the Angolan squad, which I think is probably fair. But yeah, he looks decent enough. He was lively, wasn't he?
Bright enough, yep. Running about. This was in the friendly against Vyshkov in the third league, a rematch of sorts, because we played during the winter break in what must have been the coldest I have ever felt in my life.
Oh God! Until you mentioned that, I'd completely forgotten that it was Vyshkov we were playing. Vyshkov, sorry, that we were playing. Yeah. I don't have words to describe how cold that was.
I do. Left at half time, it was so cold.
Yeah, we found basically the only pub that was open, and it took you about half an hour to defrost, didn't it?
It was the problem was that it was actually a reasonably nice enough day, if a bit brisk in Brno. The problem with Vyshkov is that it's up in the hills, and we had not planned for this. So, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a scarf, a hat, gloves. I just had a jacket, which at that point was filled with a couple of cans of beer that I bought at the petrol station.
Which basically...
too cold to even hold.
Yeah, exactly. They finished up colder than they'd come out the fridge. Yeah. Yeah, that was horrendous.
You scored 6 that day, though.
Yes, didn't score 6 on Saturday against Vyshkov this time around, but never mind, you know, hope springs eternal.
This is it. Do you want to get the first real cliche into the podcast?
Go on.
It truly was a game of two halves.
Yes. Literally, metaphorically, and actually. It was a game of two halves. 0-0 in the first half. Didn't look that impressive. It looked like exactly how we played last season. The second half, there was a bit of a switch. It was still a 4-5-1, but slightly more narrow. They got the fullbacks up much more effectively, and if this was a Football Manager game, he'd clearly click the instruction drill crosses rather than float crosses. They were up and at them, weren't they, in the second half?
Very, very sprightly. Yeah, the first half was dreadful. Sitting there in the sort of the sun trap main stand, I guess you could call it, at the stadium, sun beating down, the jeans I'm wearing progressively getting smaller and smaller, it felt like. and there really wasn't much on show. Vyshkov were pretty much knocking it about the Vertine, no real chances to speak of. And then the second half opened up a bit. And maybe this is because some players were unfit in the first half, trying to, you know, get up to fitness before the game at the weekend, or we had, you know, a bit more experienced players in there. There's only so much you can say about a friendly against a team that we are far better than. But I thought there was a couple of good individual performances and a couple of really good goals in the second half.
Yeah, a couple of really good goals. The first one from Tonda Rusek, a little spin outside the penalty area and sort of launches it into the far corner,
yeah,
which
really
was very,
nice,
very nice indeed. And a slightly scrappy second. The Vyshkov keeper sort of let it sort of slide under his body, didn't he?
But the cross leading up to that goal, I believe, though, was
yes,
particularly
was
good.
Very nice indeed. And a couple of standout performances. Young Dan Yambor, who has come up from the youth team, but disturbingly for me, is a central midfielder who wears number 9, and I don't think I will ever make my peace with that.
I mean, in the second half, we had not only a player 9 on the pitch, but we had a 99 and a 66, I think,
and a 73. Ondra Sukup.
We don't have this many players, listeners.
No. I don't know how they've decided that these are good squad numbers, but they make me slightly uncomfortable, I have to say.
Yambor, the best for you think?
Of the youth team, yeah. I would like to have seen David Gatch at the back tested more, because he is, you know, a 6'8" lanky streaker, nothing. But it'll be interesting to see if he's used any more this season. Mm-hmm. I think they should start bringing him into the first team. He looks a decent prospect. He's only a kid, but he is built. Like, basically, imagine Peter Crouch playing centre-half. That's pretty much what David Gatch looks like. And, of course, behind them anyway, we have the man, the legend.
Who?
Dusan Melikarek.
Dusan Melikarek.
The mighty Dusan Melikarek. A goalkeeper without whom we would have been relegated 5 times over before this.
I was thinking about this actually walking on the way to your flat today, David. Is this the season where Melikarek has conceded the most goals? Because I'm sure it's up there, because a lot of the time we've been absolutely dreadful in this. I mean, how many goals did we score as well? We scored 20.
We scored fewer goals than we played games.
Because we put four past Teplica in an out of character away win, and that contributed something like 20% of our entire goal tally for the season.
It was either 20 or 25%. Yeah, we definitely scored fewer goals than we played games. And yeah, without Melikarek, we'd have been dead and buried by about, I don't know, yeah, by March, probably.
I mean, yeah, and yeah, it's, I mean, you've got a couple of problems there. You had Kianskis for some of it. You had one of my favourites, Chico Gomez.
Chico Gomez.
It's Chico time, boys. It's Chico time now that he's not injured. So he was out for quite some time, yeah. And it showed. And then also a very strange thing happening at left back for quite a large proportion of the season.
For don't you wish your Milan was Lutonski,
don't you? And I want to actually, I want to have a quick shout out to Milan Lutonski, not because he's listening, but because I thought he was actually very good against Vyshkov. I thought he was actually the best player in the second half for me. When he's actually playing as a proper winger and he's not frozen with fear because, oh my God, it's a league game. He seemed to be having fun. He scored the second goal as well, and he actually looked like someone who could do something.
My frustration with Lutonski is he's the ultimate confidence player. When he's playing well, he looks like a world beater. But now and again, when he's on a bad run of form, he is dreck. He's absolutely awful. He looks terrified to even be there. And when he's in one of those ruts, it takes him a long, long time to get out of it. Mm. Which is a terrible shame because he can do it. But
he's still young as well. He's like 24.
24. Yeah. Still, he seems to have been around forever. But yeah, he's still... still there, still plugging away. Yeah. Good on him, the lad.
Who else have we got from last season coming back into the squad?
Musefi Ashiru, who spent a lot of time injured, and he was on loan as well for the first half of the season.
To a wee Slovakian side.
Yeah, so we've got Ashiru, baby.
Making that pass.
We have to get that in there.
I'm glad that we kept him. We had a couple of other flash in the pan players that didn't really work out. Alvin Fortes is one that
Alvin Fortes, Rafa Acosta, who I would have liked to.
I would have liked to have kept Acosta. But
he was quality.
I'm so glad that we've kept Ashiru, if only because I think towards the tail end of the season when he became back in favor. Well, first of all, he looks fast, and he is fast. Over 90 minutes, I'm unsure because he either gets hooked after an hour or put on for 10. But he's incredibly fast, likes taking on players, and gives us actually a bit of pace.
He's one of the few genuine game changers I think we've got. Yeah. We are a side of slightly clunky, very honest, very hardworking, but not that inspirational players.
Another game that of the rare few games that you missed last season as well, David, when we were getting absolutely tanked by Victoria Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think it was 5-1, 4-1 maybe. They were 3-0 up at halftime anyway. Ashiru legitimately looked like the only player that cared at that point. And I think that was when really the writing was on the wall about us going down.
Right.
And scored a brilliant solo goal where he just ran at people, cut inside the box and just drilled it low. Really good goal.
Excellent. So, green shoots of recovery there, certainly. We are going to have a little musical sting in the meantime. And then when we come back, that's going to be nearly it for this week. We've got a couple more bits of housekeeping, but enjoy this. Okay, so Saturday's opponents are, as we have mentioned before, Vysočina Jihlava.
Sundays.
It's always on Sunday now, isn't it?
Every game Sunday is like six. Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, come friendly bombs, eh? Yeah. Except, we don't mention Morrissey now. Except that time that we did. My Morrissey t-shirt has gone to the back of the wardrobe, by the way.
He might actually fit in with some elements of Zborovka support because he's increasingly acting like your old da, and he's also a racist.
Yeah. Anyway, Jihlava, Sam.
The plucky Vysočinins, yes, are our guests on Sunday. And they've had an interesting couple of months, notwithstanding they've changed their club badge.
Oh, God. Yeah, you remember the Leeds United thing recently where they decided to change the badge into the...
I had a field day on social media with that.
Yeah, into the I'm going to say fascist is the only word I can think of that...
What sums up Leeds like a Roman salute? Yeah. Oh, they call it a Leeds salute as well.
Do they really call it a Leeds salute?
They were calling it a Leeds salute.
Lorksalummy. Yeah, anyway, so researching Yealover have changed their badge from one that was fine. It was blue and yellow and it had a football on it. Yeah, great. I mean, does the job. To what I can only now describe as a kind of, you know, sort of Midwestern university sports logo. It's a giant V for Visacina. That's all I can say about it, really.
Yeah. They recently had a poll on their website.
Never ask the public. Never ask the public.
Far Worse was running away with about 55% the last time I checked.
Hmm. So, yeah, that's a ridiculous thing.
Talking about running away with it, though, one of their friendlies, they were playing Velké Meziříčí close by to them from the third league and only won 10-0.
They're pushing Everton then for ridiculous friendly wins.
At least this one didn't, you know, mean they had to travel halfway, you know, across a continent, though.
Yeah, so. What was that about? That was odd. Why do you go all that way?
I can only imagine that Meziříčí gave up as well, because by my look at the Jihlava squad, they have two strikers.
Like, literally two strikers?
Two strikers. You have Jiří Klíma, who is 20.
Right.
He has had one goal in 19.
Jiří Klíma?
Jiří Klíma.
Even his mum doesn't know who he is.
1 in 19.
1 in 19. That's a fine record.
And the and he's been coupled with 21-year-old Daniel Tourinha, who didn't play and was bought over winter. So was bought over the winter break, didn't play anything. But if you're winning 10-0, then I guess they're not going to be short of goals.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I'm not sure where from, but you know. 10, that's certainly not too shabby.
Their midfield has always looked good. I'll say that about a team that got relegated last season. I had the fortune of seeing them in the cup as well against Slavia
with their ridiculous hedgehog mascot.
He's fun. It's my favourite mascot in the whole world. I think he's brilliant.
Anyway, score prediction for Brno Jihlava. I'm going to go 2-1 us, but it's going to be a very Brno 2-1. I think we're going to go... 2 up, and then we're going to sit back and look terrified, and Jihlava will score with about 20 minutes to go, and then we're going to look even more terrified, and we're going to sort of see it through for a 2-1 win. That's what I think is going to happen.
It depends what Brojevka turns up. Is it the good...
Is it going to be the first half against Vyshkov or the second half against Vyshkov?
No, this is it. And I think this is going to be actually a really nervy game for both sides, because... I think, rightly or wrongly, both are going to be regarding each other as one of the favourites to go back up again.
I think they certainly both are. I think it's going to be, I mean, among the favourites, it's going to be us, Jihlava. I think probably Česká Budějovice are going to be in the mix somewhere.
I would also add Pardubice into that category as well. Yeah, a team Pardubice that have been
did very well and then fell away last year a little bit. And Hradec Králové,
who are, I think they're doing up their stadium right now. Is that right?
Oh, it needs to be done. What a dump. What a dump. What do you reckon?
I think it's going to be a 1-0 either way, and I'm just not sure which way yet, but I'm...
Fair enough.
But let's start as we mean to go on. I'm going to say 1-0 is Brojevka. And it's going to be like a really unlikely goal, like it's going to come from like Christoufek or something like that.
Yeah, or you know, a kind of Chico run, a kind of speculative shot, and it goes in off Michal Škoda's giant ass.
Actually, the most like unpredictable way that Brojevka could score a goal would actually be coming from a striker, thinking about it.
Yeah, we don't really do that, do we?
Well, I'm looking forward to it anyway.
Me too.
Real football's back, and of course we'll be keeping you up to date with that.
None of this World Cup nonsense.
It's coming home to Brno.
Yes, damn right. The second division's coming home.
Vrati domu.
Anyway, what we're going to leave you with is something that I really hope you'll enjoy. It's another musical thing. The one thing you have to know before we go into this is that during the communist era here, there were a lot of singers and groups in this country that, well, their stock in trade was basically covering big Western hits. So there is a huge back catalogue of 70s and 80s hits done by Czech artists. And this came home to me when I was at my ex-girlfriend's place, and I was whistling something that I that was just stuck in my head. And her mum said, "How does David know this?" And I said, "Well, because like it's a Stevie Wonder song, or whoever it happened to be." And she was absolutely taken aback that it was a you know, an American song and not a Czech song, as she had always thought, because she had grown up thinking that this was a Czech song. So at the end of each week, we're going to be playing you out with a beautiful Czech cover of something you will know incredibly well. We're not going to say what it is. We're just going to let it speak for itself. So thanks for listening. That's the end of episode one of Zbrojovcast. My name's David.
My name's Sam.
And yeah, cheers for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.
Někde v dálce cesty končí, každá prý však cíl svůj skrývá. Někde v dálce každá má svůj cíl, ať je pár mil dlouhá, anebo tisíc mil, veď mě dál. Cesto má, veď mě dál, vždyť já tam, kde končíš, chtěl bych dojít, veď mě dál, cesto má. Chodím dlouho po všech cestách, všechny znám je, jen tam mi zbývá. Je jak dívky, co jsem měl tak rád, plná žáru bývá, hned za samý chlad. Veď mě dál, cesto má, veď mě dál, vždyť já tam, kde končíš, chtěl bych dojít, veď mě dál, cesto má. Pak na patník poslední napíšu křídou jméno své a pod něj, že jsem žil hrozně rád. Písně své, co mi v kapsách zbydou, dám si bandou cvrčku hrát a půjdu spát, veď mě dál, cesto má, veď mě dál, vždyť já tam, kde končíš, chtěl bych dojít, veď mě dál, cesto má, veď mě dál, cesto má, veď mě dál, vždyť já tam, kde končíš, chtěl bych dojít, veď mě dál, cesto má. Veď mě dál, cesto má, veď mě dál, cesto má.